Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill, the pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I got a joke for you, Monte.
I could use a joke right now. 888-957-9570. Is the number, and oh baby, we got a game tomorrow. Well, I kind of like these. When it's the Niners, I don't mind a Thursday night game. Outside of that, but we got everything going on today. Shout out to our friends at Flooring Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flush. Brought to you by Flooring Water Plumbing and Drain. Do not forget tickets. If you want tickets, we got tickets to the most wanted tickets in the Bay Area.
I got a golden
here.
Ticket.
Yeah, hip hop made the Bay. Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, DJ Quick, Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast. So get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. I need a golden ticket. Do the Niners need a golden ticket? We just need a damn win. We got baseball playoffs we'll get back into. We got Slater coming up at 8:30. Talk a little Dubs. Roxy Bernstein down there at Petco Park. He was on the call on the radio side for ESPN doing a damn thing. Doing a great job there with all that noise. But let's get to Edward before we get to Cam Edmund. Edward down at Castro Valley has something on Shanahan. Edward, good morning. What is it that you have a problem with when it comes to Kyle Shanahan?
Morning, guys. Yeah, I tuned in kind of late this morning. I didn't know if anyone had talked about this. So obviously, we missed McCaffrey on offense. We missed Greenlaw on defense. But at what point does the coaching staff take responsibility for these fourth quarter leads that we just let squander away? We never put the kill on. And at what point? I know Lynch and Shanahan came in together, but at what point do you guys think that Lynch says, you know what, you're a great guy, Kyle, but it's time to turn the page, and I'll take your answer offline.
Wait, turn the page on what?
Yeah.
Turn the page on what?
On maybe looking at a direction of a new head coach.
So you're there, you're ready to turn the page on Kyle Shanahan and look for a new direction?
I am.
That is crazy. Kitty table, Need to contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net.
I'm not going to lie. There are times when the kiddie table is more compelling than the adult table.
Nah.
You feel me on that, Spadoni?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, it depends on what family you're meeting with.
That's true. And what is the age of the kiddie table?
That says a lot. And I'll just leave it at that. We're going to have a grown-up conversation. We're talking about four NFC championship games in the last 5 years. You're relevant. Business is booming. You're playing in primetime game galore. And all of a sudden, we're talking about moving in a new direction from Kyle Shanahan because of a 2-3 start? I mean, come on, folks. We got to be better than this. That is silly. That's just.
You cover the Warriors on a daily basis, and you're surprised that fans, four-time champion Steve Kerr gets criticized every second.
And to this day, I think it's the most. Bob Myers had three championships. Like, yeah, we need a new GM, and then they win a fourth championship. Well, Bob Myers is lazy. What? I hear things like Joe Lacob doesn't want to win. Like, it's just now we want to move in a new direction to college. Like, come on, man. Well, I'm not entertaining that today. Not today.
Well, we become spoiled in society. I mean, think about it. Like, how many times are you mad at your phone? And you're like, I'm stealing a Louis C.K. bit, even though I know he was canceled and now he's back, but he's not. But, like, I mean, it's literally, you can do anything you want on your phone, and people get mad. Like, it's not working! It's like, think
people
of how
get mad at their phone?
Magical the phone is.
I've never been mad at my phone.
What are you talking about? When it's not working?
No, my phone always works.
When you don't get Wi-Fi?
No, that's Wi-Fi problem. It's like, damn, we don't have service, so whatever. You get mad at that?
How you feel is how you feel.
Gosh, this generation is cooked. All right, let's go to Cam Inman. Cam Inman, River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? I'm surprised Cam Inman didn't want to go in a new direction after hearing from Edward saying that they need to go in a new direction with the head coach. But Cam, we're not going to start there. 49ers Insider for the Bay Area News Group. New book out. I started to dive in yesterday. The franchise a curated history of the 49ers. Cam, good morning to you, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. My landline is working wonderfully, so I'm not mad at my phone. I think I have the last landline in the Bay Area, just for you guys.
I canceled mine, Cam, and I'll tell you why. Because my wife said to me, I go, well, what if happens if there's an earthquake or there's a natural disaster? Yeah. She goes, Joe, the phone is electric, and it would have to be charged. And I go, actually, you make a good point. I guess if the electricity's out, then the phone won't work anyway.
Now listen, you got to get one of the old phones and just know how to tap into the phone line. Have that in the garage ready to go, just in case.
Look at you. That's really smart.
That's a seasoned veteran right there. That's Cam Inman right there.
Dial.
Come on now. Come on. All right. Let's get to the business here. Niners are 2-3. Disastrous loss against the Arizona Cardinals, but if they win tomorrow, they'll be tied for first place in the NFC West, and they'll be able to stabilize and calm the waters a little bit here. So who's in? Who's out? Let's start with the offense here. How did Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, Brock, how did they all look yesterday in their little walkthrough Levi Stadium yesterday?
It is a little walkthrough. We only get to see about 5 minutes of it, but they were all moving around fine, right? So Kittle's got that bounce in his step because he loves playing in Seattle.
Yep.
And Fred's got that fierce, I'm going to kill people look in his eyes because they've lost three of the last four. So they look good. The guys that don't look so good, Talanoa Hufanga, he's got torn ligaments in his wrist, so he's probably going to miss at least another month. The guy only played about not even a game and a half so far this year coming off his ACL. So that's bad news because they have safety issues, and then you obviously have to get a new kicker in place of Jake Moody, who was in a boot yesterday at practice, and so they brought in Matthew Wright, who escaped Tampa right before the Hurricanes coming, so he packed up and won the audition Monday to kick for the Niners Sunday in Seattle, or tomorrow night in Seattle. So, I mean, Moody and Hufanga were their biggest injury issues, but then Charvarius Ward snuck up on the injury list the other day, and it said knee, and so everybody's like, oh, that's not good. But it's a knee bruise, and so that's better than like a sprain or any ligament issues, right? And just talking to Mooney yesterday at his locker, this is the matchup he loves more than any all season when he gets to go against DK Metcalf. And it for Mooney and kind of the Niners, it's a great redemption opportunity to kind of overcome their early season slump and do it on a big stage.
You know, Mooney Ward, you mentioned that, going up against DK Metcalf. He's had his days against him, the hat and t-shirt game a couple years ago when Brock Purdy played with broken ribs. Last year at Thanksgiving night when the Niners went up there and handled their business. But he has not been moving well. That Rams game, they ran an out and up on him. He just fell to the turf, left the game. He came back, and the Rams started challenging him deep. How did he move last week, in your opinion, against the Arizona Cardinals, Mooney Ward? Because that's a big deal when you got DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's coming on in the second year, Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was that one play, like, down, I think it was on the Cardinals' go-ahead drive or whatever, where he got beat deep on down the sideline, but Kyler Murray overthrew him. So that didn't look good. So it's like, it does make you wonder what is going on. And, you know, he's had a lot of health issues over the last couple of years, but I will tell you, he's battled through a lot of injuries that people that don't get reported because they're not major, but they could be major to him. So you just wonder about the health of it. But, you know, he's playing for a contract. Diamador Lenore is playing for a contract. There's a lot of business that's kind of just revolving around this team ever since the spring, right? And you would just wonder how that's weighing in their heads. So, but hey, it's now's the time you got to put up. And he knows it. I will say, like, first thing I said to him yesterday, I go, look, I know your confidence isn't shaken. And he's like, yep, you know me. I'm good. I'm ready to go. So, I mean, he knows he's not playing up to the level he needs to, but there's still a lot of football and chances that are coming.
Cam, each week feels so diverse in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a total separate entity from the week that we saw prior. And then each season is just so different, right? How, I mean, you've been doing this a long time. You've been covering this team and this core of guys for a long time. What's different about this year's team versus maybe years prior? Because we know they've had some stumbles at the beginning of seasons and they've dug some holes. But what's different about this year as opposed to years in the past?
I was thinking about this today because on offense, they got everything in place, right? You have a healthy quarterback, healthy Trent Williams. The offensive line's intact. You can debate how good they are or bad. It doesn't really matter. You're obviously missing Christian McCaffrey. So that's a big difference. But look, they were missing him 2-3 years ago, right? To me, I think the big difference is defense. And I think they're in the middle of a rebuild that we don't realize. I mean, they have Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. But what is going on with this defense? There's a lot of new parts there. You got a new defensive coordinator. So everybody's scrutinizing the defense now that has not held a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter in two of their last three games. And to me, that is a big issue that kind of gets swept under the rug because there's so much star power on this team that they're in the midst of this, we're kind of transitioning on defense, but they're not playing a ton of young guys because there's a bunch of free agent pickups, especially on the defensive line, that are not impacting the game the way they should. And then at linebacker, Devondre Campbell is impacting it negatively. And then just in the secondary, there's been too much miscommunication. So as much as we can harp on, obviously the offense is not the same without McCaffrey, and you see it in the red zone. To me, the defense has always been what's driven this engine, and the defense has not come calling yet outside of Fred Warner. Fred Warner's been just balling all season, and that's why when he had an ankle injury a couple weeks ago, everybody was freaking out for good reason. But Bosa's got to get to the quarterback more. I mean, it was fabulous interception last Sunday, but he's got to make more plays, and everybody's got to make more plays around him. I mean, that was the whole thing. If you're playing next to Nick Bosa on that defensive line, you should have one-on-one opportunities and win them.
It just doesn't seem like they are. And you referenced some of the veterans. I mean, what is it with some of these young guys? Because, like, when Pooney gets in, I mean, obviously Pooney's very good. He's better than what they have, mm-hmm. and he's playing really well. I think he is. At least my eyeballs are telling me. But, like, Renardo Green only gets one snap on Sunday. You drafted him, and I thought he'd be a factor. Obviously, the two wide receivers, Cowan got dinged up. He's more of a returner right now. Right. Haven't seen Pearsall at all. But, like, Bethune and Jalen Graham, who they brought back, you're not seeing the young linebackers play. Okawanu, horrible penalty, but you don't see him a whole lot out there. Is it as simple as just playing the youngsters and just living and dying to Mustafa in the secondary? Mm-hmm. Is it just as simple as playing the youngsters and living and dying with their development?
That's part of it. That's the growing pains, right? Especially with Mustafa, because the guy's made some really tremendous flash plays, but he's also missed some glaring plays, whether it's a missed tackle or dropped interception. So going into Seattle, I mean, that obviously, that to me is what I'm kind of most concerned about, is if I'm Geno Smith and I've thrown for more passing yards and attempted more pass than anybody in the NFL, I'm going deep on these Niners. I mean, they've given up the deep ball a couple times already this year, and to me, I want to see how vulnerable that secondary is, because you have some very young safeties. And the cornerback suspect, I would say, is fair. And then if that doesn't work, you could always go underneath and figure out whoever my guess is they benched Devondre Campbell and have D. Winters play a lot more next to Fred Warner. That's what they should have done going into the year and given D. Winters his growing pains opportunity, because Fred could cover for some of that until Dre Greenlaw gets back. But, I mean, that to me is the issue. I mean, offensively, though, that's a veteran side. I mean, that is, they've got no excuse not to go in there tomorrow night and put up 30 points on the Seahawks. And that's, listen, That's a lot of points to put up in that building. But and there's a lot of talk, is this a must-win game? It's not a must-win game. It's a big win game. They won big in that 2019 game to win the number one seed.
Yep.
They won big, what, 2-3 years ago to clinch the division with 4 games ago. They won big last year on Thanksgiving. It's a big win game because you don't want to go 0-3 in the division, even though they did in 2021, but that was their fast track not to winning the division. So.
That's a good point. Cam Emmett here on the River Islands guest line, 49ers insider for the Bay Area News Group. We're kicking this around because there's a lot of talk about, obviously, the safety position and the defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. There was so much made about Steve Wilks, and the defense looks even more predictable. And to your point, they are giving up the explosive deep down the field. But I want to know, what is Brandon Staley's role right now? Because that's an intriguing name to me moving forward here. If the defense can't rectify itself, what does Brandon Staley do? What's his role? Because a lot of fans have been asking us about Brandon Staley.
It was a vague role when he first came aboard in the spring, right? They didn't want to pigeonhole in anything, and it almost made it seem like he was going to be a consultant for anybody on staff as like an assistant head coach. But then the practices came about, and we saw him working a lot with the secondary, the defensive backs. And that's kind of where Nick Sorensen and Steve Wilks worked last year, right? But now Sorensen's the defensive coordinator, so now you need somebody in the back end helping Daniel Bullock, who's a really good safeties coach. But the defensive backs are not performing. They don't have one interception through 5 games. They need to make plays on the ball. They're not doing it. Does that fall on Staley? Not necessarily, because a lot of those guys talk about how Staley has taught them some new techniques and some new mindsets to have. So maybe that's just part of the rebuild transition that's going through. But by just invoking his name, everybody knows this guy's a former NFL head coach, and it kind of seemed he was brought along as insurance or to help out Nick Sorensen in his first year as coordinator. So when the Saleh news dropped yesterday, everybody's like, well, hey, let's just switch him out, get him back as a defensive coordinator. It doesn't work like that. Saleh doesn't need to come back to the NFL this year. He's got a lot of millions of reasons not to. And so that's why, but it doesn't mean Nick Sorensen's safe, and it doesn't mean Brandon Staley's the next man up. It's just something to watch and see how they develop because, you know, Saleh and then D'Amico Ryans, they each had took their lumps in their first few games as DC, and then things started clicking. What it really is the players got to play better and got to hold those leads.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, players got to hold themselves accountable.
Why is there a lack of accountability for some of these guys? Like it does feel like there's. I'm not going to go over the top. Say it's a full culture of throwing coaches under the bus, but it just. I don't hear enough like what Brock said. Like, I got to be better. Brock said that the other day. Yeah. And I know that can get cliche as well, but I'm just saying that it feels like there's a culture of we criticize scheme so much, and it just kind of does bug me. There's a little accountability.
Yeah, but what do you want? Like, do you want accountability from, like, coaches getting fired like the Jets just did? That's just not Kyle Shanahan's style. And
I meant from the players.
Well... Yeah, I mean, there's some of it. I mean, but it's like, which players are you going to get after? Like, some of these guys are new in their roles, and they know they should be performing better, especially if there's so many missed tackles on defense.
Oh, my gosh.
On offense, it just seems like every week it's kind of rotated. Okay, last week, Brandon Ayuk showed up, right? Jawan Jennings had a big game. Debo had a pretty good one in week two. But you got to get all those guys on the same page. Mason's done remarkably well. And then at the worst moment of his career, he fumbles on first and goal at the 8-yard line. And to me, that's going to be an issue tomorrow, too. And by the way, I mean, you want to talk about accountability. It's like Jordan Mason's a guy that doesn't really enjoy talking to the media. Sure. And it's not a Marshawn Lynch thing where he hates the media or he despises it. He's not comfortable with it. Like, I've talked with him at his locker. It's nice. But, you know, after that game, you got to stay at your locker. You do have to have accountability to discuss the fumble. When reporters get in there yesterday, I want to see him at his locker ready to talk about it. This is a premier NFL running back right now, and that's where I think you're right on some of the accountability. But at the same time, you know, is he being coached up to go over that? I don't know, right? So,
what was J.P. Mason like before he got elevated into this role with Chris McCaffrey being out? Because obviously some fans, I remember the game you mentioned, the hat and t-shirt game when they won the division title and Purdy had the broken ribs. Mason had some great runs down the stretch to seal the game, and he showed his ability there. Was he always like this, kind of a quiet guy, kind of away from the media, not at his locker?
Yeah, he's a quiet guy. He was the closer, remember? They would bring him in because he's got this physical style, and that, you know, he hadn't lost a fumble up until the last one he had on Sunday. But he was not a guy that goes looking for the limelight. He's not one of these guys that are shooting basketballs in the locker room. He's pretty quiet at his locker, and that's fine. There's nothing against that, and he's not rude. He's not a very talkative guy. I mean, Brandon Ayuk's not the most talkative guy either. Neither is Debo. And so I don't hold that against some people because everybody has different personalities. But I think there's a certain time when you do need to talk, and when this is your number one running back, this is. Let's portray him in the light of this is a budding star and see how he's doing on a weekly basis.
It feels like ever since that Monday night game where he got asked right after the game on the field about, you know, when did you know you were going to start? I don't know. It just feels like he kind of got talked to behind the scenes. That's my interpretation. And
Maybe, but the other thing is, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what he's saying. It's a matter of how he's running the ball. And this guy is running the ball so darn well. Like, I did ask him this a few weeks ago, and I said, look, do you have better vision this year? Because we're just seeing him, like, we see these lanes open up, and he darts through them rather than just plow up the middle like we thought he would be, like what kind of running back he was. And he goes, nope, it's the kind of vision I've always had. And the difference is they're just calling a different style of plays for him. Because he's your number one running back now. So they got to run, he's got to run the offense and not just run the closer plays. And so he's confident he can do all of it, and it's looking like he can.
What ended up happening with Juwan Jennings, he went down in the middle of the game, like in the huddle, very oddly, and he kept grabbing his arm, hand, wrist, finger. What's going on with Juwan?
I don't know, because it was never even reported that he had a hand injury, and he's not on the injury report this week. But did you see the catch he made, like, out of bounds, like, near the pylon, where, like, he had another guy draped all over, and he made another catch just reaching a guy? This guy is, like, I would just throw to him every frickin' time, because we know he's got this contact curve, but he makes some incredible catches, and I will tell you, that rubs off on the quarterback, and that's why he trusts him. And Purdy tries, there's just been this, like, the last few years, they forced the ball to Debo so much, and I understand you get the ball to him in space and he can run through guys, but he's not doing it. And it's like, then get the ball to Juwan Jennings, and I want to see more Juwan Jennings.
Before we let you go, Cam, I got to ask this one because you've been a beat writer for a long, long time. You've done some great interviews. You've earned respect. You have credibility here. Last week, I guess there was a big fuss about the NFLPA and reporters being in the locker room or whatnot, not being in the locker room. Players want space. What did you make of all that?
I made it out like the NFL Players Union wants to use the media as pawns when it comes down to the 18-game scheduled debate that's going to be upcoming. So the NFLPA says we don't want the media in the locker room. The NFL says they need to be in there. It's in all your contracts. You have to talk to them. The 49ers are handling it as if it's status quo. They're allowing us in the locker rooms. Players have always had the option to go outside the locker room to conduct an interview. I mean, it doesn't really look good if you think you're a prima donna and say, nah, we're taking this outside, right?
Right.
And these teams are allowed to designate two players per week where they only have to talk once a week. So that's your quarterback and maybe, I don't know, Bosa or Warner, right? And then we can talk to each of these guys every day. So if they want to play this game, you can have the media saying, all right, I'd like to talk to Debo Samuel today, pull him out of the locker room. And you could do that to 50 guys. And you can do that multiple days. You got to find a common balance. And I just feel like the NFL Players Union is trying to, it doesn't seem fair. And mind you, nobody's going to like feel sorry for the media. But the problem is, we are the conduit between the players and the fans. We want to find the stories. We want to explain the why and the how of things happened. And we saw during Zoom in 2020 of how bad the interviews are. Everybody gets the same canned response. You don't get any great insight out of it. By being in the locker room, and you have if you have players' trust, and you can talk to them one-on-one, and you can kind of glean really cool insights that you may not know, or have them more relaxed to explain why they want J.P. Mason to keep, you know, turning for extra yards and running through guys' faces. You get way more colorful quotes that way, and it enhances everybody's brand. And it's just, to me, it's ludicrous if they really want to, like, kick the meat. Dude, we're only in there for 45 minutes, okay? Baseball clubhouses, you're in there for, like, what, an hour before the game, and you're in there an hour after the game, and you're going, everybody stands around very awkwardly waiting for guys. In football locker room, game's over, you're banging locker to locker, getting guys as fast as you can. Next thing you know, the locker room's gone. Everybody's out of there in 15 minutes.
That's a good point.
We are not lingering around there and waiting for guys. It's, if you see a guy, you go get your story. And I think the 49ers recognize that and understand it. And the 49ers PR staff has worked well with the media on that. Curtis Robinson as their players rep, and they told our PFWA president, Matt Maiocco, like, hey, things are status quo. But at the same time, we do respect the fact that this is their, you know, it's a private space, right? We shouldn't be, like, running our video cameras around, showing what's in guys' lockers. You got to watch why guys are getting dressed. That's all very respectful and professional, and that's how we need to be. And part of journalism is you have people are coming in that are content creators that don't know the journalism guidelines or how to be professional in a media setting. And so I think it's a good reminder to everybody to say, hey, tighten up that iPhone. Don't be zooming out, so I don't want to see you guys getting dressed in the background.
Yeah, that's a good point there. Very good insight there, Cam. And thanks for always coming on with us. Safe travels up to Seattle. Again, get his book right now, The Franchise, A Curated History of the 49ers, 49ers Insider for the Bay Area News Group, longtime writer for the Bay Area News Group, Cam Emmon, here on the River Islands Guest Line. Thanks for the time,
good
Cam.
Good stuff, Cam.
All right, thanks, Bonte. Thanks, Shasky. You guys have a good time.
You too, buddy.
You too, Cam Emmon, man. That was a great, great
landline sound
there.
Great.
Great. Yeah, that landline did sound great.
Crystal clear.
Cam Emmon there breaking down what's going on. And I do believe that you shouldn't close the locker rooms, because that's where some of the great stories, some of the great Nuggie Ducks come in. We could ask later about it on the other side here as we got a break. Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider here at 95.7 The Game, we'll get to him. We could ask him that follow-up on the locker room stuff because he gets great insight. He gets great insight going in the locker rooms. That's how I got great insight, going in the locker rooms and shaking hands and kissing babies and earning trust from players.
Talking to me? I had a change of heart, and I want to talk about it on the other side.
Oh, you had a change of heart. Ah, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
Oh, what's up, coach? I like that, Steve. It's good. It's good. Warriors basketball being back, Niners playing. It's a good time of the year. And the Warriors have a preseason game tonight against the Sacramento Kings. They were just in Hawaii. Lenny Walter III, it's a game winner in Hawaii. They celebrate like they won a playoff game, and I loved every bit of it. I loved every bit of it. So, the Warriors, what kind of team are they going to be? I joined Draper yesterday. I was on his show. Kyle Draper, your boy, Sactown Sports. He was talking about the Niners. You know, he was feeling himself. And he asked me, what kind of team will the Warriors have? And I said, you know what? I have no idea. It's kind of a good thing, right?
The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I want to establish. So you're saying on the front end, you have no idea.
No idea what
this
team's going to look
like. So 4 months into the season, you cannot come back and say, I told you, I've had a great year when it comes to my Niners, Giants, Warriors takes.
Well, I don't usually do that. I only do that when I'm right.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
About some things. 4 months into the season, if they're rolling, like, you know what? I'm not going to say I'm surprised. I'm going to say, you know, I didn't know what this team was going to be. I didn't know.
So now, I would like to.
Draper was mad about the GM survey saying, how is Sacramento behind the Golden State Warriors? Can you explain? I was like, Draper, relax. Relax.
Draper just.
I love you some Drapes. Draper. He's got the Mercedes Benz up there. He's rolling, man. Kyle Draper's rolling.
Good luck, buddy. Here's what I would say. You were having a conversation with Cam Inman about journalism, and I know we're going to have Anthony Slater on, and I would like to have
just waiting on hold.
I would actually like to have this conversation with him. I did not, quote-unquote, graduate from journalism school and go to school for journalism or whatever, but because of some of my work in the media, Reardon actually brought me in the other day, and I talked to a couple kids over at their little journalism department, because I did do video production and a bunch of other stuff over there. Anyway, needless to say, is my opinion has changed dramatically. And working with you every day and seeing your prerogative and your perspective on these things has made a big impact. For years, I used to say, I don't care about the media and this, that, and the other. And I did not care that Colin Kaepernick had three-word answers. And now my opinion has changed dramatically. I do believe that when you're the franchise player in any sport, you owe it to the media to act a certain way and to present for the... Because it's a billion-dollar corporation.
Clip this, please.
To present a certain way. Like, I do believe that you need to have an amicable relationship with those that are covering it, because they are the conduit. And so I was listening to an Ethan Sherwood Strauss podcast, and he was talking with Kawakami, and he referenced Slater, and we'll bring Slater in here. And he was like, hey, when we were all working for The Athletic in like the 2018 season, we would all be in the locker room and we're talking, and I could write a story. And it was interesting to hear Ethan explain this. Like, I could go to this player and then go to that player and then go to that player and that player, all within an 11-minute period. And then I'd write this, you know, 1,000-word story where I got all these insights in 10 minutes because I was able to have access to those players and the relationship of working with them every day for months on end. They would give me nuggets that I needed to formulate a story that me, Joe Shasky, the fan, wants to see. Like, why is this, you know, particular screen, this off-ball screen, so impactful or whatnot? And so, like, as someone who loves sports and loves reading about sports and all that, it is desperately needed. And again, I was one of these people. We don't need to meet.
Took Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Hill for 4 years.
But again, I said that you had an impact on me. We need the media to have certain accesses to these players. I'm not saying that you should be videoing everything in the locker room. I understand there's levels to this.
We're letting it play, Shasky.
I'm just happy that Shasky's learned about the basics of sports journalism.
Let's bring it into
We all get there
someday. But I'm saying from the fans' perspective, for many years, as a consumer of sports media, I thought, screw the media. My opinion has changed.
Slater's stealing money from us, man.
Really quick, before I don't want to hold Slater. Shasky, that's good for you. Thank you.
Slater's stealing money this morning. He's been on hold for 5 minutes. Slater joining us on the River Islands Guest Line, all cast on 95.7 The Game, up here on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Slater, did you change a diaper during that great perspective by Joe Shasky?
No, I was having flashbacks to my Oklahoma State days. We did sports media law 101, all my sports reporting classes. That was nice. You were explaining my career. Right there.
That was unbelievable perspective, right? Joe Shasky's come around.
Well, I look at it this way. Sarah, you could talk more to this. Like, people always say, well, they don't have to talk to me. No, literally they do. It's like in the contracts of the CBA is certain obligations regarding your contract. And like, if you don't like it, you can go play in an independent league somewhere else. But you know, part of making a lot of money is there are certain obligations that come with it. And I think talking to the media is just part of it. Like, everyone has things in their job that they have to do that they don't like that you're obligated to do. But Anthony, get in there at any point. Like, I don't know. I find it interesting that they want to limit access to the locker rooms and the clubhouses.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is like a battle. Every year we were on, there's a PBWA call, like, I don't know, maybe a week ago, discussing like the various, you know, smaller, bigger issues that, you know, but, and it's Players Association fights one way, Writers Association obviously is trying to pull it back. There was a big, you know, obviously when COVID goes down, we're not only out of the locker rooms, we're just like out of their space for about a year and a half. And it had taken a while to get back kind of what we previously had, but. Yeah, I mean, like this is the years long debate. And honestly, you talk to older writers, and I would even now weirdly consider myself an older writer. I'm about to start year 12. The access has gotten less and less over time, and I do think you feel that. You know, we used to have writers going on like planes and getting this like denser, deeper access, but I think the social media era has made that a little too dangerous for players. Like, they don't like that as much. So, yeah, I mean, again, we could talk about this all day. I'm not sure that the listeners want to, but yeah. It's interesting.
No, it is very interesting, because those nuggets that you guys get and the relationships you build in those locker rooms before a game, after a game, the inside information, the off-the-record stuff helps the stories. And I think the average fan doesn't realize that. It's like, oh, who cares about the media? The players shouldn't have to talk to you. Just be thankful you got a free press credential. And I've been saying for years, like, no, there's a lot. It's a lot deeper than that. That's how you made your bones. Marcus Thompson, Kyle Okami, everybody, Ethan Sherwood Strauss, you get those insights and those handshakes and those behind-the-scenes looks, not only with the players, but the coaching staff as well, Slater.
I love that Ethan gets the middle name too, Sherwood.
Yeah.
yeah, no, you're right. I mean, look, I'm doing it right now. Like, obviously, I'm trying to put together a few bigger picture stories on some of these teams I cover, including, obviously, the Warriors. I was just over in Hawaii with them, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to get Draymond for this story, and, like, schedules haven't necessarily aligned, but because there's, you know, at least a built-up relationship over time, it's like, hey, can I maybe get you post-game this game? Hey, you know, maybe I'll try to get him tonight in Sacramento, whatever. And it's, I assume he's been very chatty and, like, as he typically is, I think his perspective on this particular story I'm doing will be very good and potentially helpful for the fans. And, yeah, I mean, you guys read, you know, whatever amount of stories per year where you're like, man, that's really good insight into the team. Like, yeah, that comes from the conversations.
Yeah, it's interesting because I and we'll get into the Warriors specifically. I just think that the days of just writing a game score column, I might be mispronouncing how you guys describe it, those are out the window. Now it's like analysis and observations and layers and deep thinking and you know, insight and locker room stuff and coaching philosophies. Like, that's what I like reading. You know what I mean? I think it's evolving, and not having that access restricts all of this insight that fans are craving.
Yes, I will say gamers are dead. To your point, but I do think that as access is being limited, but I still think it's there. I think sometimes people in my industry complain too much about it. It can be done. It's still a skill, and it's like hard to get a lot of like the really good meaty stuff, but it still happens. There's a reason why people still read it, because people can still capably get it.
All right, hey, Anthony, so indoctrinate me. I'm in football mode. I'm in baseball playoff mode. Give me, like, just a quick cliff notes of what's going on with the Warriors right now.
It's unbelievable.
What? Am I wrong? No, the audience is in the same mode. I got an email about CYO basketball. It's like, wow, basketball's coming up. And all of a sudden, you're talking about Hawaii. I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to go to Hawaii.
10 minutes and now,
set me up on some Warrior hoops.
Oh, my gosh.
They are a kind of a beefed-up version of last year's team. You feel the depth. You know, I think there's a lot of lineup combinations and players that you're like, you know, I agree. Like, they should be high on De'Anthony Melton. He looks like a great fit. He probably at this point, I would predict he starts at the two guard. You know, Kyle Anderson fits in various lineups and this and that, but you're still kind of, it's not just watching one preseason game, but it's seeing kind of the trickiness of the front court, which maybe we'll get into, and like who they start, Kuminga as a 3-4, and then just wondering like who's the number two scorer on this team. like the top side talent. It's kind of, in my opinion, the conversation we had last year. I think they're better in some ways. I think it's better depth. The young guys have taken leaps, but they're still just kind of in this muddled mix in the West where we could predict, you know, anywhere from 4 to 11 or 12.
Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line on the Morning Roast, our 95.7 Game Insider for The Athletic, does a great job there. So you were out in Hawaii with the team, and Wiggins didn't practice much. I guess he got back yesterday. But other than that, you brought up De'Anthony Melton. You brought up some of the young guys. And I think a big polarizing quote last week, I think you asked Draymond a question about Kuminga, and Draymond said, I don't think he's a four right now. Now, Steve Kerr says, I don't know about that. So what is Jonathan Kuminga? Because last year was a lot made that he can't play alongside Andrew Wiggins, and then we found out later in the year, you know what, they can coexist on the court together. So where is Jonathan Kuminga at with the contract extension hovering over his head?
Yes, if we're just talking positionally, I mean, it just really kind of depends on, like, who he's out there with. And, you know, I think part of Kerr's point is, yeah, if he's with the stretch five or a shooting four, you know, other shooters that open the court for him because his best skill is downhill attacking, he needs space for that. Then he can be theoretically a three, you know, if Kelly Olynyk's out there. Kristaps Porzingis is a name that Kerr brought up as like, hey, look, if that's your five, you know, you can be kind of a downhill three. Whereas Draymond, I think his perspective on this is like, it seems pretty clear Draymond wants to kind of be the power forward on this team primarily. Not that he won't play center, not that it's going to happen for 8 to 12 minutes per game, probably to close a lot of games. But, you know, I think he came to realize last year, this is me talking, but this is just seems to be the messaging from him, that, like, you know, he prefers having kind of the rim protector out there to start the games. You saw it late in the season with Trayce Jackson-Davis, you know, he, in his past with Zaza, with Bogut, all those guys. And he's, you know, in his own way, I think, making it clear that, like, he would prefer to start at the four. And if that means Kuminga has to start three, like, they almost need to figure it out. But it's just tough. It's like, because you're talking about they don't have a shooting five, a stretch five.
Yeah.
Draymond is going to start at the four. If Kuminga's at the three, like, it's 2024. Like, we understand what the spacing problems that creates. Right. And why you want to play Kuminga 35 minutes a night, and they'd love to, like, force fit him into the three, like, that just might not score enough points in the modern NBA.
Would Wiggins play the two? Maybe that's a question, because I wonder about the two. We keep talking about Melton and Podzimski. Is Wiggins a candidate to play the two? And I know spacing could be a problem then, because he's not your prototypical three-point shooter, but Steve Kerr did mention out there in Hawaii, I want him shooting 6 to 7 threes a night.
Yeah, I mean, like, to your question, like, he could, and you're probably going to have to win games like 98, 96. Maybe you could, you know? Like, that would be – like, they have the capabilities to have some really good defensive lineups out there.
Right.
But they're just like, you know, how do they have these really good defensive lineups while still having modern spacing, getting up the amount of threes they want per game, running up and down the floor? Like, Andrew Wiggins is not really a two.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, I think Draymond's going to have to play a little, probably end up having to play a little bit more five than he wants, and probably the fan base wants, and maybe his body can take, which is, isn't this the conversation we had last year?
Yeah. It seems like we've had this conversation the last 2 years.
The only way that Kuminga and Wiggins on the floor together worked last year, if you just look at, like, metrics of the lineup data, we all remember this was when Draymond came back and went to the five. And then suddenly that wing combo that just couldn't work for them was their best lineup up for the season. So it just seems like if you want to play those two together, which, you know, again, you want your 6'8" scoring wings out there together, then it, you know, Draymond's probably going to have to play a lot of five.
Looney stretch five, Slater? He looks like he's in great shape.
I mean, he might throw up one per game. I mean, Steve Kerr's being very reasonable. He said if it's a broken play, I know you are, but, you know, yeah, I think you're speaking.
Let's run the RPO with Vinny Testaverde. I mean, come on. Jeez Louise, Monte. All right, rank these guys.
What up?
Rank these guys in terms of breakout season, okay? And I'll put bounce back, breakout kind of side by side. Rank them for me. Podzimski, Kuminga, Wiggins.
Man.
Most likely to have it.
Very different. Like, who, you know, leading in minutes, leading in importance to the team. What's, like, how
importance to the team.
Importance to the team. I mean, it's kind of the problem with this team where I feel like six different players, and these are three of them, like, would, like, be tied for second almost. But I will go
I just think Kuminga's season is so massive. I would put him one. Like, I just think, like, just the way, not only, the negotiations, if he signs, if he doesn't, how he's playing, like, he can take them towards a leap. If he makes the leap, he has the highest ceiling. So I'll put him one. And as I probably, more than the fan base, does view this as more of like a longer term, bigger picture view. And I think that Pajemski's too, because I just think the young guys have to get better for this thing to really be moved forward. And I think move forward in a 3-year type window, whereas like it is like they need Wiggins to play better. But I just like, Wiggins is kind of their older wing that like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to play himself into suddenly his contract being super appealing on the trade market. So give me the young guys. Kuminga 1, Pajemski 2, Wiggins 3.
What was it like in Hawaii training camp with no Klay Thompson? How was the vibes out there? I had to be a little strange to not see number 11, who's now wearing number 31 for the Dallas Mavericks. Did you notice anything different? Did the players discuss that at all, not having Klay Thompson there in training camp with the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, they discussed it because they were asked about it. And, like, sure, if you, like, sit there and walk in the gym and you're like, hey, where's Klay? Maybe you'd feel it. But to me, it was weirder. And even I've talked to a few of their employees, players about this, like seeing the videos of him in a Mavericks jersey in the Mavericks facility. Like, that's weirder than, like, there's plenty of times Klay's been out, including he missed 2 seasons. Like, there's been years you have not felt Klay Thompson, so I don't sense that it's just this like hovering topic or hovering absence. I just think it's going to be strange this season when you just watch him on the Mavericks, number one, and then when he comes and plays the Warriors, that will obviously be odd.
What are you looking for tonight against the Kings in this second preseason game for the Dubs?
Yeah, again, I continue to look at this front court. It's clear that a lot of people in this organization want to see if Kuminga can maybe be the 3, if they can maybe find some of these front court rotations where they can, elevate their better players more, get them into bigger roles, and they play, they start Jonathan Kuminga at the 3 next to Trace and Draymond in the opener. I think they lost that stint 17-12. Mm-hmm. I assume they'll probably go with that 3-man front court again tonight. I just want to see it a little bit more. They want to see it a little bit more. And I think, I sense a level of skepticism from the coaching staff that it'll work, but they've got to see the sample for something to be proven wrong. You have to allow it to be proven wrong.
Right. Yeah. TJD will get into more as the season progresses there. Looks like he's going to get minutes as a starter at the 5 spot, but I could see that rotating all season long where Steve Kerr goes a loony one night, TJD the next night, but basketball is back. And by the way, Lubman wanted me to ask this question to you. Yeah. If you were to write a book about your time covering the Dubs, what storyline would you want to focus on? Because Cam Inman, who we just had on, just wrote a book about the 49ers, the franchise. What would you focus on? What storyline would you focus on here, Slater, if you're covering the Warriors, writing a book?
Yeah. I mean, if I took, like, 2 steps back and, like, viewed it as, like, I'm writing the book, it's more about, like, my career, journey covering the team. I mean, it would just be Durant moving from the Thunder to the Warriors and just like everything that meant, all the reasons for it. I was obviously on the Thunder side of that thing at the start and came over when Durant did. So like that would probably be the impetus of it. It's just like, and that, it's not like that was a small thing in this Warriors run. No. So yeah, it would probably just be on like everything that went into, the Durant decision and the ramifications of it.
Did you think you last longer than Kevin Durant in the Bay Area?
I got that sense pretty early, to be honest with you. Yes, to answer your question.
Oh, Slater, it's good to have you back on the airways, man. It really is, man. We got some locker room insight. We got journalism insight. We got Warriors insight. The one and only Anthony Slater, everybody here at the Morning Rose. Slates, see you soon, brother.
All right, fellas.
All right.
Go Guardians.
Oh, yeah. Forgot to mention that. Go Guardians. Tell them that on the phone. Tell them we're rooting for the Guardians.
I'm
rooting for the Guardians.
I'm rooting for the Tigers.
I'm rooting for the Guardians. Let's go, Slates. Get a championship to Cleveland. Let's go.
I'm rooting for the local boy, Miller.
River Island's guest line, Anthony Slater. So a lot there. Spadoni, are you nodding your head? You're feeling this, right? Oh, you're feeling it. We got Roxy Bernstein coming
up
at 9:20.
You're in your Dorito bag and you're feeling yourself.
Cool Ranch Doritos at 8:51 in the morning.
I will defend it.
Oh, I do it once a week. What are you talking about?
Please explain.
I think he saw me eating the Cool Ranch. He's like, that's a good idea.
I would like to get back into the journalism conversation because it's so funny. No, it is. It's funny to me. Like, you guys only say that because you're a journalist. B, every morning, Sam, you can attest to this. Every morning, and I know it's for content, but I do this anyway. Every morning as a child, I used to run to the sports section and I would grab the sports section from whether it was the breakfast table, whether it was at school, whether it was anytime. Like I remember I was telling some stories like Coach O used to have the newspaper. I would steal the newspaper from him. I'd draw little messages in there about how the Raiders suck. And then I'd put it back on his teacher desk, you know, and we used to fight for it at the work break station back in the day. And every morning in here to this day, I come in and I read stuff, whether it's ESPN, The Athletic, whatever. And not everyone's wired that way, but I always like to learn and I like to get all the, you know, I want to be educated. I want to be in on everything. And you don't get that with Zoom calls. And there is an obligation. Like people, oh, you guys, they're not obligated to do anything. Look, literally it is in the CBA. It's negotiated by the players union to have certain people, for depending on the sport, talk after every single game, whether that's the managers, a specific player, an amount of players. There are specific rules in place, and there's got to be some give and take. Now, I told you, I consume this stuff, and I'm not knocking anybody who's doing the team reporting, but when you go on to Warriors.com or Giants.com or Niners.com, like I know, just me, I personally know that information is going to be coming from like the 49er or Giants or Warrior perspective. I know what I'm getting, right? I'm not going to get critical thinking and stuff that's going to like, you know, dive into maybe a rift or a weakness on the team. Like, I understand what I'm getting. The reason why I think the Players Union as an entity, which was a players-run kind of journalism site, the reason why I think it kind of fell on deaf ears is because people know it's curated from their perspective, and you're kind of like hit and miss. You know, people want the juicy. They want the outside opinion of something. And so, like, I don't know. And I think there's a reason that Marcus Thompson is well-read and Tim Kawakami is well-read by consumers. And people seek out Shams Charania and Anthony Slater pieces and things like that. And I don't know. I think there's a specific spot for journalism and you need to have certain accesses. Wow. I don't need full access, but it needs to be here. And I'm saying this as someone who didn't think it was valuable.
Mark this day down. What's the date? It is October 9th. 8:51. Shasky has a new perspective on journalism. This is unbelievable.
Hey, growth is good.
Growth,
you know,
is good.
Shasky, honestly, impressed. Like I'm not trying to rib you here. Like, no, this is good that you're kind of coming around on this, and I'm very happy to hear this. So this is
Sam. What do I do every day? Do I not read in that other room in the morning every morning?
You're doing a lot of things on that phone. I assume most of it is reading.
I would hope
I do a lot on that phone.
You do a lot of reading. You and I do a lot of conversing, listen, but, you know,
part of the job.
You put your homework in.
Part of the job, whether you're in television, sports, radio, is you want to read the articles. I mean, that's a given.
Exactly.
I mean, that's so when I talk to young journalists all the time, you're not subscribed to the SF Chronicle. You're not subscribed to the Bay Area News Group. You're not subscribed to The Athletic. I know it costs a lot of money, but if you want to do this job, and you want to do it at a high level,
it's necessary.
You need to be subscribed to these sites. And so when it comes to newspaper, I cut my teeth in the newspaper. I wanted to be a beat writer. That was my first foray into sports journalism, was being a beat writer and covering high school sports and writing and becoming a sports editor at City College of San Francisco. So, you know, when it comes to reading newspapers, that's what gave me life. That's what gave me life growing up. That gave me a perspective where I wasn't fortunate to attend games. I wasn't fortunate to be able to go to games all the time. So reading the papers every single day, the Sporty Green, the Examiner, then the afternoon paper with the Examiner, mm-hmm. the two-star, then the four-star mm-hmm. paper, and reading the Ray Rattles, the Gwen Knapps, and the Bruce Jenkins, and everybody like that, Ira Millers. Yeah, you should read. And those perspectives and those stories, that's why I know you get on them. But Peter King in Sports Illustrated, when I got to Sports Illustrated every single week, him and Dr. Z, you got perspective from the locker room. You got perspectives from outside. That's why I thought it was so cool when Peter King would write with the coach the week of the Super Bowl to get a little off-the-record conversation, to get a little perspective of what is going on in the coach's mind as well as the player's mind. So this is always, I'm glad you're coming around to it. This is like, I'm
well, Peter, you know, King, there is a way of presenting the information that's obnoxious, and that's where I draw the line. The writing was good. It was the great. Obnoxious interviews for me.
Well, it was obnoxious.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what it is. Well, it's to say, like, the Chronicle. You're talking about the Chronicle. Like, I kind of have a beef right now with the Chronicle.
Why?
Because I think there's too many articles that I see for Instagram and stuff to generate clicks. I understand it's a money-making thing.
SF Gate is a little different to Sporting.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, like, their food, they have a food columnist, and I've had a couple of beefs with some of their food columnists who have never worked.
Beef with food
columns.
No,
I'm being serious here. Where they've never worked in the food service industry, and they write these columns about these restaurants, and I'm like, well, hold up, man. This is somebody's lifeblood, some family that behind it. So I have specific beefs with some of the specific writers that are writing things.
We're talking sports.
I know, but I'm just saying journalism as a whole.
I don't even read the food network. I've been a guy who barely skims through the news articles. I used to read the entertainment stuff. They had the horoscopes. Well, they had the movie time.
Wait, you're telling me there's other sections in the paper besides sports?
Well, no, Matir and Ross. I grew up reading Matir and Ross in the Bay Area section. That's what I grew up in. Yeah. I see Phil over here every now and then with Willie Brown and KCBS. He does a bunch of hits. And, like, that's where you got all of the city and local politics stuff from. And I used to always be, you know, on the in on things like that. I wanted to feel like I knew something. So I think it has a place. I'm not saying that they need to be in the locker room for X amount of minutes. That I don't know. I don't know what the answer or the healthy balance is. I don't know what it is, but it has its place. And you take them away from doing their job, I think we're going to get crummier coverage that's more curated and it's not in depth.
Well, I'm just happy that you respect the media game now. That's my, because, you know, I got buddies who don't understand the game. Oh, the media this and the media that. I say, wait, hold on. You can't let one person on ESPN dictate what the media is like. These journalists work their ass off to travel.
Yes.
Now, to travel, you're away from your families. You have practice every single day. Some of these practices are just so damn boring. You're not going to get anything out of the practice. You're just only going to watch for 15 minutes before you have to go inside and wait for these guys to hit the podium. You got to talk to these players. Some of these players don't give you anything. You're trying to pull teeth. If they lose, all of a sudden, guys are leaving out the light, like with the Raiders, for example. When I started covering the Raiders here at the station, and they would lose, and we'd be waiting on Khalil Mack and Michael Crabtree or whatnot. And I said, you know, a PR director, they're gone. They're out of here. They jetted out of here. Wait, what? Talk to the stars. They would just bolt. They would just be gone. That's not right. And then people's, well, why are the media complaining? They don't need to talk to you. Blah, 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 blah. Well, he's a star player. I want to know from the star's perspective what the hell went wrong today. So I'm glad that you are having this newfound love for media and journalism and knowing how understanding how difficult this could be.
So case in point, right? And I'm an equal opportunist. You do great work. I'm going to credit you. If you do some things that I think are a little goofy, I'm going to call that out too. Andrew Baggerly reported in journalistic fashion basically what went down with the Matt Chapman thing. Now, there were varying reports of people that had sources, right? And that's all part of journalism, is some people are going to have sources that are saying one thing and they're going to put that out there, and I believe their level of credibility, and other people are going to have maybe a differing point of view or other sources that see things from a different perspective. I mean, like, but when the Andrew Baggerly article came down about Buster Posey having to grab the wheel of the Matt Chapman contract, I was like, wow, this is impactful. Did we all not make assumptions based off of that incredible piece of journalism?
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you saw the other article come out from Slusser and two articles had differing opinions, then you could read.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.